Okay, so we're doing Baba Kama Memches Amad Beis, the Sugya of the Meglados. Go ahead, Yaakov. Starting with the Mishnah on the bottom. The Mishnah on the bottom, yeah, get the Mishnah, go ahead.
Okay. Shurashay Mishkabin Yashaber Vihika Seisha Vyatsu Yada, Pata Midvei Vados. The Shore intended to hit another shore and hit a pregnant woman instead, and she miscarried. The Baba Shore is Pata from the Meglados. But the person intends that another person hits a pregnant woman instead, and she miscarries. He is chayav to pay the dmei vados.
Okay, fine. So let us. That's what we'll start with today. Okay. So basically, there's a halacha of dmei vados. It's a gzeiras hakasuv, right? That you learn a lot of different things from this case, but it's Shmos Chaf Aleph. So if two men are fighting and they accidentally hit a pregnant woman, causing her to miscarry, and they don't kill the woman's still alive. So you punish the guy. It's basically, we learn it's a monetary punishment. He has to pay the Dmei Vlados. And like the Baal Isha, like the husband places upon him. Okay? And you give it in front of judges. Okay, so there's a lot of funny things in the pasuk. We're just going to try to do the halachic aspect of it. And we're just going to do the beginning part of the Gemara here. Right? The Gemara is going to go into, the Mishnah takes up, Kate said, well, read the rest of the Mishnah. So read the next part. How you evaluate how much the vlad is worth? Okay, how do you evaluate how much is the baby worth? Go ahead.
Kate's Mishnah to me about this. How do you pay back to me about this? Some is the Isha Kamehi Yafa Ad Shal Yada. You evaluate the woman how much she'd be worth until she's not, all the while she's not giving birth yet. The Kamehi Yafa Misha Yada, how much she's worth after she gave birth. I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and came Misha Isha Yoledes Misha Beches. If so, once the woman gets birth, she goes up in value. Ella Summon is a Vlados coming in Yafin. Really evaluate the children, or how much they're worth.
The fetus. How much the fetus is worth, and you give it to the Baal.
Okay. Yeah. In utero?
Yeah, the Vlad, right. Vinus and the Baal.
Right, you give it to the Baal.
Right. Okay. So that's a mahogis. I'm not sure if we'll do it, we'll skip it, but for right now, we're going to do it. How do you evaluate? So there's two methods. One is Reb Shimon Gamliel's method of you directly evaluate it, right? How much is a vlad worth? If I want to sell a vlad on the street, in the market, how much is that going to be worth? Okay? And a slave market, right? On the slave market, the vlad, right? So you can do that, right? There's a value for that. And that's how much you were. That's how much you give the husband, the Baal Isha. Okay, it's not really, it's really the father, not the husband. Okay, even if they weren't married, it says Baal Isha, but it's Boel HaIsha. Right, it's Boel, so it's the Gemara Mem Gimel says that. That's one method, and the Tanakama's method is, how much is a woman worth if you were to sell her on the slave market when she's pregnant? And how much would if you were selling her if she's not pregnant? Because the person who's buying a pregnant slave woman, and presumably he's going to get the Vlad also as a slave. Right, so it's a higher price. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel doesn't like that because sometimes it's a lower price. Yeah.
Well, isn't it the same though?
What? A pregnant woman and a non-pregnant woman?
No, both methods.
You mean, do they come out to be the same?
Yeah.
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily.
What's the method?
How much it is. It might be a different price. I mean, why would it be different?
Yeah.
It could be different because there's a risk involved in the woman herself. That she might die in childbirth.
Oh.
That's one issue Rosh Hashanah raises. Also, women, when they get pregnant, they look fatter. You know, they put on weight, not just around the belly, but other places, and that makes them more expensive. A chubbier woman is more expensive. You know, she's got a little flesh on her. So that's Shevach Vlados. The fact that a woman gains a little weight when she gets pregnant makes her more valuable. Not in women's minds, but in the slave market mind. Okay? Don't tell women she has. Women don't look at Shevach Vlados anymore. It's not a Shevach Vadish anymore. But in the Gemara's eyes, that makes a woman, you know, puts on a little weight. Good for her. So that's the Gemara later on. You take it up, is those two issues. Okay? But we'll stay away from that for now. Okay? It's fascinating Gemara, though. Okay. So, like Rashi says that if one shor, who do a miskaven isha, nami potter, right? It means even if the shor is going for, if the shor accidentally kills, it's trying to attack its fellow shor, or even if it's going for, the Mishnah just says, a shor is trying to attack one shor, and it misses, and it gets the pregnant woman, and it kills the fetus. So then, your potter, the owner of the shor, doesn't have to pay the Baal Ha'isha, the husband, anything. Instead, there's nothing. The whole Xeris Akasav of the Demei Vlados only exists when a human being, two men are fighting. They don't have to be fighting. This is the case of the Torah. Two men are fighting, and one accidentally hits the woman in the belly, and she miscarries. Then you have to pay the Demei Vlados. That's the case of the Torah. But it doesn't exist by the shor. Okay? That's the Maskana of the Gemara. The Gemara is going to take up an interesting question of, is it completely not applicable to the case of a shor? But if your shor causes damage, you own a shor and it causes damage, you have to pay for the damage it causes, right? So why in this case, right, is if your shor is trying to damage one shor and it gets another shor, you have to pay money. So why do you not pay the Demei Vlados for the owner of the shor does not have to pay the Demei Vlados, right? So the Gemara has basically half min and a muskan here. So go ahead, read the Gemara.
Time I described no kavero. The reason the Baal Shor is potter was intended for a kavero. I'm describing each of the Shon Dei Valdas. But if intended for the woman herself, he would be chayav to pay the Dnei Valdas. Leman tzavi tziyokta derav Adha Barava. Dimar rav Adha Barava, Shor Mishnah is kavu li'isha, v'tura mi Dnei Valdas. So Shor is ever intending to hit a woman, they're potter from Dnei Valdas.
Okay, so that means that the shor is just an aggressive shor, and it's trying to attack the woman, the pregnant woman, right? It's a real jerk shor, and the woman miscarries. So that's it, your pater, because according to Avada Barava, the whole parsha of Demei Vlados does not apply to shvarim, only applies to anashim, because the gzeiras hakasev is the chiyun. I think Gemara said earlier, the chiyun natsu anashim v'naflu isha hara. So that's when men are fighting. Anashim v'lo shvarim. So the whole parsha doesn't apply to shors. It's only people themselves. Right? When the people themselves damage a pregnant woman, they have to pay, but not shors. Okay, so that's Avada Barava. But you see, the implication is the Mishnah is against that, because the Mishnah is not saying if the Mishnah is giving the reason why the shor is pater, the owner of the shor is pater, because it wasn't trying to go for the woman. It was trying to go for somebody else. This is a different shor and ends up accidentally getting the woman. But had it been going for the woman, it would have been chayiv. That's the implication. So that's a contradiction to Rav Adha Barava. Okay, go ahead.
I'm not Rav Adha Barava. No, Rav Adha Barava could say back to you. Who attend that feeling is God in the Isha, ninth term in the Vedas. Even in Quran's Mishnah, if the shor and ten of Isha, it's also called different in the Vedas. The whole Dikatani Shor shall be misguiding the Chavero, in the fact that it says, no, Ashur is intending for its Chavero, I need to cut by the Mishnah Seifa, Adam shall be misguiding the Chavero. Since the Mishnah wanted to teach in the Seifa the case when Adam is misguiding for a Chavero, Dachi Xiv Krox, that's as it's written in the Pasuk, Kitani Rachel, Nami Shor shall be misguiding the Chavero, that's also the Tani Rachel.
Okay, fine. So it's just the language of the Mishnah, it wants to be consistent. The Parsha in the Torah is telling you two people fighting. Two men are fighting, and one of them accidentally hits the pregnant woman. That's the case of the Torah. So it wants to tell you that it's dafka, two men, human beings fighting, that get the pregnant woman. And not two shores that are fighting, and they get the pregnant woman. So it just creates the parallel case of substituting in shores for people. Okay, so you end up with shores fighting, and they get a pregnant woman. Ah, you're potter, because the whole thing doesn't apply to a shore. But in Chanami, Korah Rav Adha Barava, and the Mishnah, everybody's on board that ultimately the whole parsha doesn't apply by your shor. A shor, if it gets a pregnant woman, knocks out the fetus, there's no payment whatsoever, but only by people. Okay, and there's a havamina that it would be, it would have applied if a shor directly went for the woman, and just somehow there's a shor is potter in the case where it accidentally gets the woman. but not if it intent, right? But not if it intentionally did. Kamashmon, the Gemara says, Ravada Brava, that no, the whole parsha doesn't apply to a shore. So far, so good?
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, go ahead. Let's do a little bit more, and then we'll stop. Amar Papa.
Amar Papa. A shore should nagas, nagach es a shivcha, v'yetzila del. A shore that hits a shivcha and she miscarried, mishan dmei valdus. He pays back the dmei valdus. My time was the reason. Chamarta navarta ba'alma hu dazik. He's merely damaging a pregnant donkey. Demakra shidu lachem po mechamor. As the classic says, stay for yourselves here with the donkey. With one who's similar to a donkey.
Right, this is a question I read. It's as simple as Am Hadom HaChamor, a nation who's similar to a donkey. Okay, you read it as Am Hadom. But I think there's a way to read it even Im Hadom HaChamor.
It's talking about
what, Eliezer? Eliezer and I think Yishmael.
Right.
Okay. So basically, right. So since basically the Shifcha has a din of Am Hadom HaChamor, right, so if you're, let's say you're shore, right, you own a shore, and your shore gores somebody else's donkey, you have to pay for the value of the donkey. If it gores a pregnant donkey, which is with more than a regular donkey, then you got to pay for the vlad also, right? So why not? That's nezek, it's damage. So now it's saying if you're shore, even though a regular Jewish woman, if she's pregnant and the shore attacks the woman, and the fetus loses the fetus, you don't have to pay because anashim v'lo shvarim. But if it gores a shivcha, right, a shivcha kananis, so then she has a din, that's what Gemara seems to be saying, she has a din in terms of the nezek, like a pregnant donkey, right? And therefore you have to pay for the damage caused to the shivcha. Okay. So far so good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now Tosos, take the top Tosos.
Vintin, Hod Gabi Boris, Nan Bishili Perkin, Nakhla Sokhla Evil Amma, Pater, Velo Mina Dahabi Kincham Marta Mavarta, Velo Nam Ite Mishor Vladim.
Okay. So the Baya Bor. So there's Arbav and Nazikin, right? One of them is Shor. You own something. If you own something that can attack, right? It's a Shor. Another one of the avos nezikin is a bor. You make a takala, something dangerous. Dig a pit. Okay, so if you dig a pit, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, whatever. Let's say you dig a pit in the middle of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, and v'nafal shama shor chamor, and somebody else's shor, his donkey, his you know cow or his donkey falls into it. So you have to pay because you built, you created a dangerous obstacle in Rosh Hashanah. Okay, but the Gemara learns. Shor velo adam, chamor velo kelim, or whatever, right? Shor velo adam, that if a person falls in there and dies, okay, not even get damaged, if a person falls in there and dies, then you're pater. Okay? You're pater on the person. If a person falls into that takala, maybe he should look where he's going, or whatever. Exerce a custom. Shor velo adam. Okay? So Tosis says, yeah, but let's say a person's shivcha is walking, and he falls into a pit. So does the Baal HaBor have to pay for that? And if she dies, does the Baal HaBor have to pay for that? So no. Shor v'lo adam, she's a person, right? Canaanite slaves are also people. They're humans too. They're not animals, right? So therefore, the pasuk is only mechayev. You own an animal, shor or chamor, not an adam, right? And the shivcha is an adam, right? So you see, in terms of nezikin, we treat a shivcha like an adam, which makes sense because they are people. So why over here, in terms of Dmei Vlados, right? When you say Dmei Vlados only applies if you, a human being, you damage, you attack a woman, a pregnant woman, and cause a miscarriage. But if your mamon, if your shore does it, it doesn't apply. There's no Dmei Vlados. So then, right? So now why when your shore attacks a pregnant shivcha, does he pay anything? Why say, oh, that shivcha is like a donkey? No, she's not. She's a human being. She what's the difference between her vlad and the vlad of the Israelis? It's the same thing. They're both people and they're both babies. And you're sure the whole parsha is my vlad. That shouldn't apply. Why all of a sudden does it apply by shivcha?
Right. So Tosis' question is by the boar, the shivcha falls in and she dies.
She's right.
So we pay her.
No, you're a pater. The balabor is pater.
The balabor is pater.
Because bor only applies to if what shor v'lo adam.
Shor v'lo, okay.
Meaning she's in the category of adam when it comes to parsha of bor. Okay. We treat her like adam. Right. So now over here, if the shor gor is a pregnant shivcha, treat her like an adam, like a regular person, and bala shor should be pater. Because when you gor shores, don't have to pay for the mevlados. But then say, hold on a second, she's not a person, she's like a donkey. And if you gore a pregnant donkey, the shor sure has to pay, you have to, bala shor has to pay for the pregnant donkey. So why all of a sudden is she no longer human? She's a donkey. What happened? Go ahead, yeah.
Is there any reason he's asking on this Gemara and not the other one?
I mean, he's got an answer for this one. The answer is in this one.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Right? I mean, the answer ultimately is she is a person. She's still come on, Ario. You were at the shir yesterday? I didn't go.
I was at the shir.
Oh, so there you go. Oh, you mean Gifu Mama, Gifu Mama.
Gifu.
Okay, fine. It's good. It's getting there. Okay, good. Okay. So the question is, let's see Tosa's answer. Yishlam has the answer.
Yishlam, the Hatha lo me to kasav shor me de mei valdas, ela be makam shor vlados shor val. The Yatsiv Baal Yisha. And translate?
You want me to try?
Okay. Here the pasuk only was mi'aitz the what?
The shor. Okay. Is that the shor, the gzeiras hakasev, that anashim v'lo shvarim, that the mevlados only applies when a human being causes the miscarriage, not when a shor does. It's a case where the vlad, the fetus, has a is of the father, right? The baby of the Baal Isha, right? The kedichsev Baal Isha, right? It says kasher yashis love Baal Isha, is whatever you know. You have to give the money to the husband, okay? Aval kan, but in the case where you have a pregnant shivcha, havlados la'adon. So the fetus is not to the father, not to the husband of the shivcha, but it goes to the owner, the master. There's exerts a custom that the woman, the shivcha, and her children are owned by the master. So since it's owned by the master, it's a different situation. Really, a shivcha in general is a person, of course, but the parsha of the mevlados applies when you pay the money to the Baal Isha, the husband. And there they're saying, if a human causes it, give the money to the husband, the father of the child. But if a shor causes the miscarriage, then the owner of the shor does not have to give money to the father of the child. Okay. But over here, who would the money be going to? It doesn't go to the father. Why not? Why does it go to the father?
Because the father doesn't own her.
Because the father's in heaven? Not necessarily. Father doesn't have to be in heaven.
But the father doesn't own her. The other one.
Let's say the biological father is Yisrael, is a Jew.
The kid's owned
by the Baal.
The what? The kid's owned by the Baal.
Kid's owned by the Baal.
Right.
And what about the father?
The father sold her property. Maybe.
No. Let's say Yisrael just sleeps with a shivcha. He shouldn't do it.
It's not his kid.
Frowned upon. What?
It's not his kid.
It's not his kid, correct. Okay, it's not even her kid. Okay, ultimately. Right, I don't think there's no chiyas. There's no yichas between an eved done of yichas. Okay, that's what the Rush says. If you look to the Rush, which you didn't, I know, I didn't put it there. But Amadom Lechamor, he brings down this lima. There's no chayas. An Eved has no chayas. There's no yichas. Okay, there's no lineage. Okay? But there's no arayas. If an Eved sleeps with his mother, there's no...
Sotibagir.
What?
Sotibagir.
A gear, that's katan shenolad also. That's different. A non-Jew has a relationship to his father. Like a non-Jew inherits his father. Okay? Non-Jews do have korva. Like the Shemitz, the Arayos. Bnei Noach have Arayos. Bnei Noach can't sleep with his mother. Right, it's one of the Arayos. But
but an Eved can.
An Eved could, yeah. Yeah. Again, probably, yeah. His mother. Right, because there's not, I don't think there's his mother. There's not a mother. Right, there's no korva.
It's not their mother, it's also...
Actually, the only thing is the reason why, because there's no core to the mother?
Let's take a gear, like a mother and a child.
Certainly, there's definitely no relation to the father, that for sure. There's definitely no relation to the father. The Evan and the, it's, Your son from a shivcha is not your son. That's for sure. We'll leave the rias out, because that might be a different issue of whether that's he's not in the parsha of Bnei Noach rias, and on the parsha of the Bnei Yisrael of Yisrael rias. It might be a little different. But I don't think there's a relationship even to the mother.
No, but let's say a shore accidentally kills a child who's a ger. Who does the bal shore pay?
A child or a fetus?
I mean, a ger has a child. You pay the ger.
The ger, yes. Is a child.
Yes, yes, yes.
So they kill the child.
An actual person?
A ger, yeah.
No, a living, live person was born?
Yeah.
That's a totally different parsha. Now you're in the parsha of Kofar.
So different. Oh.
This is Dmei Vlad. This is a fetus.
Oh, I see.
If a shor kills a person, then the Baal has to pay Kofar, which is it's a kapara. He has to, basically needs a kapara for the fact that his animal killed somebody. Really, it's Chayim Yisrael Shemayim. If your shor kills a person,
the shore
gets skila if it did intentionally. If the shore did intentionally, the shore gets skila. If it was just an accident, if the shore can be towing moo, it was just an accident, then the shore we don't kill. But if it was moo and it was warned, then then the owner of the shore has to, is chayv misa dei shemayim, and he has to redeem himself by paying the value either of himself or the value of the person who was killed by the shore to the Yerushim, the inheritors of the person who died. Okay, that's parsha of Kofar. That's if you kill an actual living person. But if you kill, this is where it got a fetus.
I see. But in a situation, I guess my question doesn't apply because, like, it can't. Like, if a woman's a ger, the fetus is Jewish.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So far, so good. The facts are all clear.
So good.
Okay, so now, does anybody have any questions?
Yeah, just to clarify this thesis.
Go ahead.
By the boar, we're saying we don't learn the tour from Hamor. Why?
Shor v'lo Adam.
Why?
Shor v'lo Adam means you're only chayiv if a shor falls in there, let's say, and dies into your pit. But if a person falls in there and dies, you're not chayiv.
We said, you said v'lo din ma'ate, ma'ate, mishor v'lo Adam.
The shivcha is included in the pator of v'lo Adam. She's considered Adam, and you're not chayev if a Yisrael falls into your pit and dies, or if a shivcha falls into your pit and dies.
You are chayev if a shivcha falls in.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying, why are we chayev in the same reason that we pulled them here?
Yes, if she's not a person, she's a chamor. Mm-hmm. And therefore you should be chayev if she falls in. Like if you're right, if your friend Hamor falls in there and gets damaged or killed, you have to pay. So if his shivka falls in there and gets damaged or killed, you should have to pay also.
Right, so why didn't we apply that?
No, because the Torah has exerced because of Hamor v'lo Adam.
Yeah, so why didn't we apply that? With Hashem's answer?
Why didn't we?
How are we supposed to answer?
Oh, because she is an Adam. She's an Adam. She, absolutely, a shivka is an Adam completely. Nobody's saying that she's a Hamor. The Gemara says she's a Hamor. That just means that there's no relationship between the father of the child and her and sorry, the father of the child and the baby. They don't have a relationship. I'm a domo lechamor, right? And therefore this child is not a child of the father, but rather it's a child of the Adam, the master. And somehow that makes sense now. Once the child is owned by the master, now it makes sense that if your chamor damages it, you have to pay the damages to the master. Just like if you attacked, if your shore attacked a pregnant chamor, you would have to pay the value of the vlad to the owner of the chamor. So to hear if it attacks the shivcha, and the reason is because there's no relationship between the father of the child and the child by a shivcha.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's saying.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
If your shor ordinarily damages a person, right, or property, you're chayav either way, right?
If your shor ordinarily damages
a person, not paying them, it's a person.
Damages, yes, you're chayav in the
nezek.
Or property.
To some extent, right?
Yes, you're chayav in the nezek.
Right. So it's not clear here why it should be any different on either of those.
Yes. Okay. So one question is, what is Rav Ada Barava's reason? Why? Yeah. Right. When your shor does damage, it does. It causes damage. It damages a person, damages property. You have to pay for the damage. So now, why is Rav Ada, what is this sense of the Gzeiras HaKasav? Anashim Lo Shvarim, that by Demei Vlados, if your shor kills a fetus, you don't have to pay anything. Why not? Why is it different than everything else your shor does?
I mean, everything else your shor does, you need to pay what?
You need to pay the damage, the Nezek. And here, for some reason, you don't have to pay the damage. If you do it, you have to pay the Nezek, you have to pay the damage. But if your shor does, you don't have to. Why not? No, by shifcha. He's asking a different question, right?
Yeah.
By shifcha, you do have to pay, okay. Which makes sense.
Yeah, right.
That makes sense. The question is, why, if by Yisraelis, a regular Jewish woman having a regular, you know, vlad, why do you not have to pay if your shor knocks out the fetus of a regular Jewish woman? Why not? Why should there be gzeiras kasav like that?
Right.
Right. Okay. So let's start with that. Okay, good. So I was asking another question here. We're going to start with the basic case. Forget the shifcha. That's the Gemara, that's the Tosas. We're going to want to get there. The basic case is, what is Rav Ada Bar Ava's chiddush, right, of why a regular woman who has a regular fetus, if you knock out the fetus, you have to pay to make vlados to the Baal Isha, to her father.
Wait.
But if your shor does it, you're pater. Why all of a sudden should you be pater?
Right.
Okay. So Isaiah and Josh are pointing to the question of, like, you have to define here what exactly is a nezek when either the adam or the shor knocks out the vlad. What exactly is a nezek? Okay, and it's hard to define. So they're going to say maybe there's like a social, you know, thing, but I don't think, like, if it was a social thing, you don't pay nezek for a social thing. Maybe busha. Right, if you pay busha. But shores don't pay busha. Okay, but this is not busha, because busha is a knas. Busha is a knas, okay? So this is not boshas. This is nez. This is it's just not boshas, okay? And boshas has to be kavana, or whatever. Not boshas. So, right, but the problem is, what exactly is this nezek? Now, if you, let's say you cut off somebody's hand, okay? So you have to pay nezek. And again, how do you evaluate the nezek? We'll say, how much was that person worth as a slave when he had a hand? And how much is he worth without the hand? And then you pay him that difference in damages, right? Now, is he a slave? No, he's a regular Jew. But, like, that's how you figure out the nezek, the loss to him for cutting off his hand, right? But, I mean, yes, he has the social embarrassment. He's only got one hand now. But, I mean, you don't pay for that, right? You don't pay for that at all, right? So, so the question here is, what is the nezek? Like, I mean, superficially, is the nezek is she lost the baby, right? She lost the vlad. And how do you evaluate how much that's worth? Well, how much is a pregnant woman worth? How much is a woman who's not pregnant worth? Or if I wanted to sell the vlad on the slave market, how much would it be worth?
Right.
Just like any other nezek, I would evaluate when you damage a person, right? You sure damage a person, you know, he cuts off his hand or whatever it is, or you do it, you got to evaluate on the slave market. So why is this different? Why, you know? Okay, is there a reason why this should be any different than that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're moving here. So the question here is you guys are pointing out that two things here. One is not exactly like the loss of a hand. This is a proto-human died, right? The Vlad died. It's not exactly someone lost their hand, right? Okay, Uber Yachimo, whatever. Let's leave that aside for the second, okay? So it's not quite the same thing, somebody, right? And Isaiah, what do you say, Isaiah? That what?
It's like, it's not damage to her group, I would say, because it's another group inside of her.
Right. Right, you're paying for the vlad anyway. Right. So it's not right. Not even damage for her goof. And Varaya, that you're not paying for damage for her goof, you don't give her the money.
Right.
Right. The nezek, the woman gets at least a third of the nezek.
Yeah.
Maybe two-thirds, maybe the whole thing. It's machokas. When you damage a married woman. Okay. How much you have to pay. But certainly she gets a share in it. It damages hers, right? So, but here she gets nothing. It goes to the father, the husband, right? So you're looking at it not like it's her hand. You're looking at it like it's a separate vlad. So where is her nezek, right? If you kill somebody's kid or something like that, now we'll say mazik, right? You pay the kid. I mean, the kid's the one who got her hand, or not the parents. So why, whose damage is this exactly? Right, it's the first thing. It's not quite damage. Whose damage is it? It's the vlad. The vlad got destroyed. Right?
Right.
Number one. And number two is it's not quite damage. Something died here. Or die, you know, depending, you know, board or whatever it is. Right? It's So that's right. Okay, good. So now you got to take those insights and see if you can develop the theory. So why should it be that anashim lo shvarim, that the whole parsha of Tamei Vlodos only applies when a person does it, but not a shor? Okay, another clue, I don't know, you know, is maybe it'll help. Sometimes, like, we don't need to define this Havamina, right? Every Havamina don't need to define, but sometimes if you think about a Havamina, it'll help put you in the right framework for understanding the Maskana, okay? So keep in mind, the Gemara does have a Havamina here, that Demei Vlados, in fact, does apply to a shor. Right, that's what it wants to deduce from the Gemara, from the Mishnah, right, and for that's what the Mishnah really means. And Demei Vlados really does apply to a shor. But even though, in general, according to Gemara's Havamina, Demei Vlados, if you're shor, right, causes a miscarriage, you have to pay Demei Vlados. But it would only be if the shor is going for the woman. In the Havamina, there would be a special patur if the shor was going for another shor and by accident got the woman. Okay? So sometimes it helps to think about that question, is what would be the sense in that? You know, not always, but that's a possible, it might help you guys. Okay, so Yaakov wants to know, is that a normal halacha, that what? That a shor is only intended?
The Baal Shor is only the shor intended for the damage thing.
Okay, so for Nezek, if you're shor unintentionally, whatever, damages something. Okay, so long as, like, you should have watched it or whatever it is. In general, we don't get into shor kavana, right? Mm-hmm. Do animal, what the animal intend to it, the non-intend to, you're chayav to pay. Mm-hmm. Okay, if your animal killed somebody, okay, now you get into, there's a whole court case, is the shor chayav misa or not? And then you start going into animal kavana, which is a strange thing, but we do. Right? Is that if the animal did it in purpose, the animal's chayav misa, chayav skila. You don him with the basin of chav gimel, right? It's a whole, right? It's a dine mama, a dine nefashos, and then he's chayav misa, the shor. Okay? And if it was unintentional, the shor is pater. Okay? But for killing, if you are negligent with your animal, you weren't shomer properly, and it was a muad animal, and you knew that it kills people, it's done it three times, it's been warned, whatever, it's ran away from Bezin, have you work it out, and your shor kills somebody, you have to pay kofar. Okay, and then in that situation, I don't care whether it intends, who it intends to kill or not, but you do pay if it's a muad, you do pay. Okay? You do pay. Kavana always plays a role for the shor. Whether the shor is a tamer wood, that's a question of whether the shor itself dies. But the question for the baal is not a question of kavana, it's a question of, is the shor a muad to do this thing? Okay? That's the question by the, in general, that's the question, correct. Was the shor muad? Okay, fine. So let's, I'm not sure exactly. We'll try to take up all the problems simultaneously, and I'm not necessarily in any particular order. Let's try to make sense of the area, and we'll talk it out. And the Havamina is particularly tricky, but let's start here. Okay. You guys took some good steps. So let's start with the idea like this. The problem is like this, is that who's the Vlad is, it's a fetus, and you're really dealing with a parsha, not so much of Nezek, okay? You're basically, in a sense, you're in the border between Nezek and Ritzicha, somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. Right? For example, if B'nai Noach, right, they're chayav Ritzicha for aborting, right, doing abortion intentionally. Right, so you see, that's like the Torah looks at that as murder in a certain sense, right? In docha nashne nefesh, so the baby is like a quasi nefesh. It's in that the fetus. It's in that parsha. You gain that parsha. Okay, so in a sense, it's like the vlad is who is the damage to? You damage the vlad. You kill the vlad, right? But like a vlad is not a person. It's not like you can give it to his yarshim. The vlad was never born. Okay, so. The Torah created, and maybe we'll get into this a little more tomorrow, if we do have it, is Torah created this parsha, Demei Vlados, you give it to the Baal HaIsha. Okay. Why does it do that? Well, what's it doing? Okay. So, okay. And why should it apply to, and if it, once it does, why doesn't it apply it to, if your shor does it, just as much as if you do it? Okay. So, when you do it, you're in the parsha of Chovel, Chovel Amazek, right? Chovel is when one person damages another person. Okay? Mazik is when a person's a mazik, is when a person when you damage somebody's money. That's mazik, mamona, shechavero. But Chovel is a specific parsha of when you damage somebody else. Then you have the Chamisha Dvarim, right? The Nezek Tzari Boshev is Boshes. It's like a whole different parsha. It's like a Beinan Chavero. Comes the Knasset Boshes. You have Tzari Boshevas. You have all these things. Okay? But if you're sure damages, that's again, that's your mamo, that's mazik. And you only pay Nezek. Okay? So Chovel is like a different parsha. Okay? So Chovel is when one person damages another human being. Beinan Chavero. Okay? And then you have that Chamisha Dvarim. Now the Rambam in Chovel Mazek, he says like this. That's what it says. Perek Aleph Pasuk Gimel, right? He says Zeshenem Torah Kan Sheyitein Mum BaAdam Kini Nasim Bo, right? Ayin Tachas Ayin Shein Tachas Shein, right? If you knock out somebody's eye, the Torah says knock out your eye. Torah Shvichsav. It seems like it, right? It says Ein Alichvo Bozek Kmo Shechal BaChaveiro. So Torah Shvichsav says we don't do to you what you did to your friend. Knock out your eye, knock out your tooth. Elishihu roi lechaso ever, o lachbo bo kmosha asa. Ulefikach mashan nisko. Is that you really deserve to lose the same, you know, you not cut off his hand, you should lose your hand. You knocked out his eye, you should lose your eye. But instead, since even though you deserve it, the Torah says, the Torah Shabbat Peh says, don't actually do that to him, but rather pay for the guy's loss, pay for his damage. Okay. Verei omer lo sichu kofel nefeshotzeach. Okay, so you can't take a ransom payment for somebody, if a murderer kills somebody. He says, look, don't kill me. I don't want to go to Gullus or whatever it is. I'll pay for the damage. I'll pay for the value of that person I killed. Even if the person says it's okay before he died, right? They had an hour left, right? He lives. He says, I forgive him. Take the money. His family says, take the money. Don't kill him. Nope, guy has to go into Gullus or you kill the Rotzeach. Right? L'rotzeach belvad hushein kofar. So that's the special iser to take a ransom payment to be poed to himself from Galus or Misa, the murderer. There's an iser lav not to take it. Av l'chesen evarim or l'chavalos yesh kofar. But if you damage somebody else, you knock out of their eye and you should lose your eye, you could pay a kofar. You can ransom, save your eye. You can save your eye by paying the money to the nizak and giving him the value of his eye. Okay? It's like a kofar type of payment. Okay, technically it's nezek, but in the framework of chavala, it exists a little bit in a different way. Because you damage your friend, really it should be done to you. Right? The Rambam doesn't say it's by shor. If your shor damages somebody, we don't say he shor knocks out somebody's eye. We don't say that we should knock out your eye. No, you pay money. It's when you do it yourself, then really you deserve to have this done to you. Because it's a totally different type of thing. Right? It's a different type of thing that you than your shor doing something. Okay, so, okay, and you can't pick a kofar, right, guy? If you kill somebody, b'mezid, then you're chayv misa, and you can't buy your way out of that. If you kill a person with a shogig, you have to go to Ari Mikla, you have to go to Gaul, so you can't buy your way out of that, okay? But if you kill a fetus, okay, so then what the Torah says is really, you're not quite a rotzeach. Okay, you didn't do it on purpose. You're a Jew, right? You know, it's not Ben Noach. But what the Torah did is it set up a payment, the Demei Vlados, of you can pay to the father a certain amount of money. It's an onesh, anoshi enesh. The Torah doesn't even formulate it quite like money. He formulates it like an onesh. It's a monetary onesh. And you pay that money to the father because you're already in the parsha in a sense of yes, it is a nezek. It is the damage you caused. But it's in a similar way the Torah, in a sense, looks at eye for an eye. And it says, we're not going to really implement that. We'll implement a nezek payment. Okay, halachically, it's not a kofar. It's nezek. You pay a nezek for the guy's eye. But ayin tachas ayin, really, this is something worse. This is not just regular damage and a loss. And something worse. And therefore, you pay nezek. Here, too, you killed a fetus. You killed a vlad. It's something worse. But the Torah says, for you, we're going to do the way... What you're going to do is we are even though normally a rotzeach you can't take a kofar. You're not really a rotzeach. It's not really rotzicha. It's a fetus. It's not a living. It wasn't a living born human being. And if a Torah allows you to pay demei vlados, it creates a new parsha of demei vlados, the value of the vlad, and you pay that to the father. Okay. Because, and you need the Torah to create a new parsha here because it's not stam nezek wouldn't apply. Because where's the nezek? Who lost? There's no monetary damage to somebody, right? There's not money. There's a person defeated. There's a fetus, right? The father doesn't own the child. It's not his money, right? So you're not gonna have to. He didn't lose. You didn't destroy his asset, such that you have nizkei mamon. You damage his mamon or something like that, right? And it's not really quite ritzicha either, because you didn't. It wasn't born, and you didn't do it intentionally, right? So it's like almost like neither here nor there. And to the Vlad himself, the Vlad is never, if you kill it, if you, right, there's no Yorish of the Vlad. Even if you want to say there's Nezek to the Vlad at a certain value, it itself could be sold. I mean, fine, but there's no Yorish. It doesn't have a Yerusha. It was never born. Okay. So Torah does create this parsha of Dmei Vlados. Okay. But Dmei Vlados is not quite Nezek. It's like this new institution which kind of lives on the border between Nezek and Ritzicha and Kofar, and it's somewhere in between. That's why it's a fascinating sugya, okay? And as you see, if you see the rest of the Amud, it's a very interesting sugya, how the Torah formulated it and how to think about the whole thing. And it's, you know, it's an interesting parsha that the Torah had to create like a whole new structure to kind of encapsulate this. It doesn't come under the natural categories of Nezek or Chovel or Ritzicha or Kofar, all these things. Okay? Now, the Torah set up this parsha by anashim, for men, for people, for chovel. When one person damages another person, damages the woman. Okay, but if Yeshua does that, okay, Yeshua does that. Let's work with the maskana here, right? If Yeshua kills a person, right, you're chayv misa b'dei shamayim, okay, because you weren't shomer Yeshua, and you know Yeshua goes out and does it, assuming it's a mu'ad. You knew it does this type of stuff. It kills people. It's a killer shore. It's done it before. It'll do it again. And you're really chai misa de shemayim. Okay, you're not chai misa b'dei adam, but you're chai misa de shemayim for letting your shore go out and kill somebody. Okay, you got to protect your shore. You got to watch it better. And especially, you don't like that. Kill the shore. I mean, you can't just have the shore roaming around killing people. And you're, in a certain sense, a rotzeach, because you weren't shomer your money, you're chai misa de shemayim. Okay, but the Torah, in that case, allows a kofar payment. Okay, a rotzeach who kills himself, either b'shogeg mezid, there's no kofar. But if you are negligent in being shomer Yeshua, and you're chayv misa d'shamayim because it went out and killed somebody, then you could pay kofar. Okay, you pay kofar of, with the value of the person you killed, you give to his yarshim, or the value of yourself, you put to your own life. It's mechalukas d'mei nizik d'mei mazik, Rabbi Kiva Shmuel. One side says you give your own money, your own value of your own life. How much are you worth? Because you're being put to your own nefesh from chayv misa d'shamayim. Okay? But that's when your shor goes and kills somebody. You can take a kofar payment like that. Okay? But now, if your shor kills a vlad, that's the Torah saying. I'm not shem v'lo shvarim. The Torah didn't set up a kofar payment like that. It didn't set up something that you now needed to make vlados. That because you were negligent with your shor and it went out and it got a pregnant woman and she miscarried, you don't have to give the dmei vlados to the father because your mama went and did that. If it was straight up Nezek, you would have to. Okay? And if Yeshua went out and killed a living person who was born, you would have to pay a kofar payment. But here, since it was you yourself didn't do it, okay, and your Shor didn't do it, it wasn't real Ritzicha, because it was just a Vlad, so that's the Gzeiras HaKasav, the Torah didn't set up the need in this case because of the mitigating circumstances. You didn't do it yourself, it was just your mamon who did it, Yeshua did it. And you didn't actually kill a living person, it was just a Vlad. The Torah didn't set up a kofar payment, there's no tzorach for it. Now what happens? Nothing. There's no nezek, because there's no nezek. And this whole parsha, Dmei Vlad, does exerce a kusav for anashim, for when a person does it himself, anashim v'lo shvarim. So far so good? Ah, okay, so what about the shevcha? What about the shevcha?
Sounds like creepy.
Repeat this far?
Yeah.
The basic idea is you have to realize with the sugya, you guys were taking the right step. You didn't have enough time, right? I mean, is the right steps were to realize that, like, what is this? Is this Nezek? Is this Ritzicha? What is this? This parsha of a Vlad is somewhere in between Nezek and Ritzicha. It's neither here nor there, okay? It's not really Nezek because nobody... A father doesn't own his child, right? He doesn't own his child. It's not his money. So you can't say the father lost an asset, okay? Normally, if you can't say the Vlad lost its own value and it should be morish it to his father, whatever it is, his brother, whatever, you know.
Why would you say that?
Because it's not a person. It doesn't have a rishus. A Vlad doesn't have a rishus. It was never born. So it doesn't have a rishus that it could be morish. The parshas Yerusha doesn't apply to a Vlad. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, what?
I guess so. I mean, if you told me that it has a rishus.
If I told it to you, but I'm not telling it to you. It's reasonable that it doesn't, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, Vlad has no bailus. Okay, Vlad has no bailus.
Right.
It doesn't have a nefesh, really. How could it have a bailus? Okay? Okay. So there's no real nezek here. And then, and it's not quite ritzicha. Because, again, it's a fetus. It's not a real nefesh. There's no ritzicha here.
Why okay. Can you say it's
chavala for
the woman?
Okay. Now, look, the damage to the woman herself, you do have to pay. But the question is the vlad itself. Okay? The woman doesn't own the vlad. It's her money. Look, if you cause her black and blue marks and she has suffering, you have to pay her tsar, you have to pay her ripoy and shevas and boshas, and you have to pay the nezek.
Her, not her ball.
What?
You pay her, not her ball.
For Shev, that's the whole machlok is how you, when you damage a pregnant woman. Let's say she's not pregnant.
Yeah, forget about pregnant.
If she was divorced. Let's say she was divorced.
Okay, then you pay her.
Yeah, then you pay her all the stuff. Yeah, but then you have to, you know, you have to figure out what is the chaval to herself and what's the vlad. We're just taking into account the vlad itself. The value of the vlad itself. Forget, the woman definitely you do have to pay. Okay? The fact that she's not as fat anymore, that she's not pregnant, you gotta pay her that. Okay? Okay? That's anything that comes to right that you hold on, let me think of something. That might be mahogany, but yeah, you have to pay the woman for what damage to her, of course. But here you're dealing with the vlad itself. Now the vlad is not her money; it's not the father's money. Okay, the vlad himself doesn't own himself; he has never a shus, so it's not quite nezek. Okay, on the other hand, the parsha of ritzicha. When you kill somebody, it's like, look, if you kill a person, you have a galus and you have a chiyav miser rotzeach, saif. But if you kill a vlad, you're not quite a rotzeach either. Right? You're not quite a rotzeach.
Like we said,
B'nai Noach is, yes. But Yisrael is not. Okay? Yisrael is not. Okay? So that's what I'm saying. You see it's in the parsha of a life. It's like a quasi-nefesh, a chatzi nefesh, but it's not a full nefesh.
You're trying to say it's its own category of halakha.
It's its own category, right. And the Torah created... Right, for some reason, there's different reasons why he did this. Okay, well, one reason I'm just saying is possibly, you know, and to try to explain why is you know, is like, let's leave out the why, okay, just purely halachically. So what the Torah did is it created a new parsha for this case, to deal with this case, okay? But what the Torah says is when a human being does this, and he's not careful, and they're getting into a fight, two men get into a fight, and they cause the miscarriage, they kill the vlad. So then the Torah says you pay, there's the onesh, you pay a monetary onesh to the guy of paying the father, the demay of vlad. Okay. But, and to some degree, at least it is an initial approach, you can look at that as like, it's like a type of payment of kofar, right? It's a type of kofar payment, right? The Torah says when you kill somebody, you know, a full-grown human being, you can't take a kofar for the rotzeach. He's got to get punished, either galus or misa. But if you just damage a person's an eye or a limb or something like that, then you could take a kofar for that person and you pay. We do. Right, we do. Teresh Baal Peh says you do. And you could, ayin tachas ayin means mamon, right? And what the Torah says is by demei vladus, it basically allowed something like that. Now you basically killed somebody here. So the Torah allows you to do like a kofar and pay for the, but who does it give it to? It gives the money. It's mezakeh, the father. It gives it to the father. And again, that's, again, later in the sugya, take up the father, give you the mother, the yarshin, it gets a little complicated. But the initial approach, it's the father. Okay? But the gzeres akasif on nashim v'lo shvarim is that if you're negligent with your shor, and you don't watch your shor, and it goes and it knocks a pregnant woman, and she miscarries, so then, again, normally you hire for the nezek of the Ashur, but there's no real nezek here. Where's the nezek? Again, it's not really the parsha of nezek. And the Torah never created a parsha to deal with this case of if Yeshur kills a fetus. If Yeshur kills a human being, it has a parsha. That's the parsha of kofar, right? The kofar of kapara, you pay the value, right? If Yeshur kills an eved, a living eved, you pay shloshim shekel, there's a fixed amount. Okay, if you kill a living person, we have parshas about that. If you kill a fetus itself, That's Dmei Vlados. But if you're sure, you're not negligent and you're sure, and it doesn't kill a person, it kills a fetus, then the Torah basically says there's nothing. Okay, it's okay. You don't necessarily need, it's far enough removed from the person. The person doesn't really need any type of payment, kapara for himself, whatever it is. He doesn't need anything like that. He's a, I don't want to, it's not really technically kapara. Okay, it's not technically kapara, but the Torah didn't institute the parsha for that when it's far enough removed from you. It's your mamon, and your mamon didn't kill anybody, a full grown living being. Okay, it's both as the diminishing factors of keep him, it's not really Nezek, and it's not actual Ritzicha, and it was just your mama.
Would it be also a chaval to the woman, though?
Whatever aspect is a chaval to the woman herself, you do have to pay. If you do it, or if you're sure, it does Nezek to the woman.
Is the fetus dying itself a chaval to the woman?
What did she... No. The fetus itself, you mean? I'm saying it's not her mama.
Not her, it's her goof.
It's a fetus.
Is it considered her goof, though?
Right, no.
It's not considered a
goof. Right, because Uber Yerachimo, that whole thing?
Yeah,
I'm
wondering.
No, you know, it may be if you, I don't know if you would damage it, but not when you kill it. When you kill it, it's just, you look at the parsha of Ritzicha here. It's you kill the fetus. Like I said, Ben Noach, Bichai Misa for this type of thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's you don't look at it in the framework of a Nezek to her. In different parsha, it's not really Nezek. Okay?
And why is it that, I mean, how do you explain the Tosfos with it being a meat?
Okay, fine, good. Okay, so what about the Shivcha? Okay, so by a Shivcha, so the Vlad is not, the future child of the father or the mother. It's not the future child of anybody. The way the Torah looks at a pregnant Shivcha is the Vlad is not, right, is not, there's no Chayas. He's not the child of the father. The way the Torah, the Gzeres HaKasev is, right, that's because that's Ama Dom L'Chamor. There's no Chayas, there's no Yichus between the father and the Vlad. Rather, it says, Ishev Yiladeh, Tiyel Adoneha, that this Vlad, of the Vlad of the Shivcha, is basically the property of the Adon. Okay? So now, basically, this Adon's property, if you damage his Shivcha, you pay him money. And if you damage the Vlad of his Shivcha, you pay him money too. Because now you're in the parsha of Nezek. Now it's just Nezek now. Because this is not a Vlad, this is not a, it's not looked at. A Shivcha's baby is going to be owned by the Adon. Okay, and Yiladeha, her fetus is also considered owned by the Adon. He could sell it on the market, he's free to. Okay, father can't sell his Vlad to on the slave market. Right, if a regular Yisrael has a Vlad, he can't slave it, sell it as a slave. I mean, it's a Jew, right? It's a Jewish baby here. Okay, so the Vlad of a Yisrael is a human, potential human being. And that's not Nezek. Now you're in a different parasha of Ritzicha, Dmei Vlados. But if it's a Shivcha's Vlad is Mamon. It is Nezek. Right? You damage him. He had an asset. He has a Shivcha. It's an asset. The Vlad of his Shivcha is also an asset. Okay? And just like if you damage his Chamor or his pregnant Chamor, you have to pay him the Nezek. So too, if you damage his Shivcha and his pregnant Shivcha. And if you're sure, it's your sure. Your sure does damage. It damages his money. It damages his chamor or pregnant chamor. You got to pay him the value, the loss of his assets. So to a shivcha becomes an asset. The vlad, the gzeres hakasev, the gemara is saying that the vlad of a shivcha is looked at as an asset of the adon, but the vlad of a regular Jew, it's not looked at as an asset of anybody. It's looked at as a quasi nefesh, and it's nobody's nezek. It's nobody's damage. It's a new parsha of dmei vlados that you have to pay the father a payment. Okay, and a shore, if you don't guard your shore and it kills this Yisrael Vlad, you don't, Torah wasn't created the parsha of the Mevlados for that. But when your shore damages the Shivcha, now you're in the parsha of Nezek. That's your papa, that's Nezek now. Now you're basically Nezek. Why is this different than he had an asset and you damage his asset, you got to pay him for that. And your shore pays for any damage it does. You don't want your shore and it goes down and damages somebody, you got to pay for that damage. Okay, and this Vlad is identified as the asset of the Adon, Aisha V'yadeh, Tiel Adoneha, and it's not the Parsha of Dmei Vlados. Dmei Vlados, Tosa is saying, is when it's B'makam Shevlados Shel Baal. It's when you say, this is the Vlad of the father. It's a different relationship, the Baal Ha'isha to the Vlad. Right, the husband's relationship to the Vlad is father-child. That's one type of relationship. That's the relationship where, of this whole Parsha of Kiyinatsu Anashim. People are fighting, compensate him. But when you're dealing with the the baby of a shivcha, there's no chayas. Amadam lechamor. There's not the, it's not the vlad of the bala isha. She doesn't have a bala isha. There is nothing like that. There's no father. Rather, there's isha v'yadanetia v'isha v'yaladetia l'danah. It's the asset of the adon, and therefore in parsha of nezek. Well, the Torah is a parsha of shor. Shor, when you kinach for shor damages, you pay value. Does it make sense? Okay, good. Okay. I'm just gonna. I don't want to go into the Havamina too much. I mean, I know I set it up because it's not so easy. I just say the Havamina was the Gemara seemed did have a Havamina that you would pay if you're sure does this. You would pay Dmei Vlados, but it's and it would be like just like you pay kofar by Yeshua if it kills a person, right? So you pay the Dmei Vlados if Yeshua knocks out the fetus. But it would saying is that the Chiddush would be the Torah was Mechayev you. If a human being is negligent, shelo b'kavana, it knocks off a pregnant woman's fetus, you have to pay. But if you're sure that it's shelo b'kavana and it was an accident, then maybe it's a further mitigating circumstances. You know what I mean? It was, first of all, it wasn't yourself, it was Yeshua. It wasn't a person, it was just a Vlad, and you were trying to watch it, but it was you was going for Yeshua. You don't have to be so careful and accidentally got a pregnant woman. It could be that Zagmar Zavamina, that the Chiddush of a Nashon Lashvarim is just when you add in a further mitigating circumstances. Of your shore wasn't even was just fighting with another shore and accidentally got a pregnant woman, that's like a further removed of even your shmira. You know, you were being shomer around this, you didn't know it was going for the woman. You're being shomer from woman but not from another shore, and it was just an accident. So I mean that's a possible, you know, a possible idea that it's just a further, the Gemara thought that if there's that further mitigating circumstances, that's when you there's no Dmei Vlados by a shore. But in general it would be if you don't want your shore and it knocks a pregnant woman. But Kamash Mulan, no. Like Rav Adabrava, like the entire parasha of the Dmei Vlados doesn't apply to your mamon. Okay. I mean, there's a little bit of a problem with that. And I'd say the problem with the saying it that way is that really, like I said, in the parasha of Shor Nishkal, Kavana is a bigger factor for is the Shor Chayv Misa or not. But Mu'ud is the factor whether you're Chayv Kapara. So you kind of have to say that somehow without Kavana, it undermines your Shmira. You know what I mean? Like you're being Shomeret. Definitely, it's not clear that works out with the other sugya of kofar itself. So that's why I didn't really want to get into too much. Just okay. Fine. Any questions on the basic? Sorry, the whole. Okay. Last thing is I'm telling you, this is a it's a different sugya. This is like in a first approach. As you get into the details a little bit, it emerges a little bit more how the Torah formulated it and what are the concepts of Dmei Vlados and the father, the idea of the father and the mother and the things like that, it's developed, but this is just a good first approach to realize there's a new parsh in the Torah. Just Xeris HaKasav exists in a certain framework and to understand why, what necessitated the Torah. That was like the key move, which you guys were making, is what necessitates the generation of a whole new parsh in the Torah of ki natsu anashim yachta. Like, what's the necessity of it? Realizing the problem of it's not quite Nezek, it's not quite Ritzicha, and the Torah has to create a new parsha. Okay, good.